In today's gospel, Thomas comes to faith in the presence of the living God. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On the evening of the first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger into the nail marks, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. You might have heard the little story about this politician who needed new campaign photographs. So he went to the photographer, had a set of proofs made, got the proofs back. They looked awful. He looked terrible. He couldn't believe it, how bad he looked. So he goes back to the photographer. He says, "Look, these things are awful. These things don't do me justice." The photographer said, "Sir, with your face, you need not justice, but mercy." Well, all of us, from time to time, need mercy, not because of the way we look. We need mercy because of hearts that are divided, hearts that don't love, hearts that don't show mercy. And that's why on this Divine Mercy Sunday, it's good for us to reflect a bit on what mercy really is. Maybe you could say many things about mercy, but I think the best definition of mercy is this: mercy is unmerited forgiveness. Forgiveness you cannot ever deserve. Mercy is unearned pardon. Forgiveness that you cannot in any way earn. That's what mercy is. And that's the kind of mercy we get from God in Jesus. It's amazing to stop and think about how much of the message of Jesus, what he says and what he does, is about the mercy of God. I've never taken time to count up all what percentage of the Gospels is about God's mercy, but a good portion of it when you stop to think about it. For example, there's the woman caught in adultery. There's the man lowered down through the roof that Christ gives forgiveness to. He goes into the house of Zacchaeus, the sinner. He tells the story of the lost sheep, the prodigal son. Even on the cross, his last act on the cross, what does he say? Father, forgive them. Remember the good thief on the cross? Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise. Mercy. Again and again and again, Christ teaches us about this unearned forgiveness of God that comes to us in him. It's ours. Ours for the taking, ours for the asking. Of course, there's another side to the equation here. If we are forgiven that way by God, we must be forgiving in the same way toward one another. The mercy with which God loves us, we must use to love one another. So, you see, it's not a question of whether somebody deserves to be forgiven, somebody who's hurt us and harmed us. It's not a question of whether they deserve it or earn it. It's a question of whether we give it because they need it. That's the way God is with us. That's the way we must be with one another. Remember in the great play, Shakespeare's great play, The Merchant of Venice, there's a wonderful speech in that play given by Portia. Now, I remember in high school, you probably had to remember this speech. You had to learn part of it. God help us try to memorize lines of Shakespeare. But remember that powerful piece. Portia is talking about asking for forgiveness for somebody. Remember she says these very powerful words. The quality of mercy is not strained. What's that mean? Mercy isn't strained. It means that mercy isn't something you mete out drop by drop, keeping count of how many drops there are. She says, no, mercy is like the gentle rain that falls from heaven. It just comes. It comes to the earth that needs it. And then later on she says, it is an attribute of God, mercy. It's an attribute of God, and we are most like him when we season our justice with mercy. We're most like God when we season our justice, give people what they deserve with mercy, giving them what they don't deserve. That's when we're most like God. Powerful fun, huh? But that's what Jesus teaches us. Remember, I thought this was a wonderful line in the musical Fiddler on the Roof. Tevye. He's talking to somebody one day, and Tevye is, you know, kind of a everyday, every man's philosopher and theologian, right? And somebody says to Tevye one day, well, the Bible says an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And Tevye says, yes, but if we all lived that way, everybody in the world would be toothless and blind. If we all lived that way, everybody in the world would be toothless and blind. And that's the point, isn't it? In a world where there's so much revenge, revenge becomes the principle of living, we who are followers of Christ have to say no. Mercy, undeserved forgiveness is the principle of living. That's not easy. You know, it's one thing to forgive somebody, you know, who does something to upset us a little bit. But when somebody has stabbed a knife into our soul, we're bleeding from our soul because of what somebody did. To be merciful to that person, it's another story, isn't it? We can't do it without the grace of God. We're called to it, though, because that's the way God deals with us. How often has humanity, us in one way or another, plunged that spear into the side of Christ on the cross? That's us. Father, forgive them. Undeserved mercy from God. So we must give that mercy to one another. Let me conclude with another little story, true story I'm told anyway. You might have heard about the Emperor Napoleon. Napoleon is encamped someplace on one of his expeditions, and the young soldier who's on watch, guard duty, falls asleep. And this is the second time he's done that. Now, this endangers the whole encampment, obviously. And so the penalty for this, for a second offense, is death. So Napoleon sentences him to death. Somehow his mother hears about this and gets an audience with Napoleon. She's pleading for her son's life. Napoleon says to her, "Madam," he says, "your son broke the military law twice. Justice calls for his death." And she says, "But, Your Excellency, I'm not looking for justice, I'm looking for mercy." And he said to her, "He does not deserve mercy." She replied, "If he deserved it, it wouldn't be mercy. If he deserved it, it wouldn't be mercy." And Napoleon pardoned him. That's the way God is with us. We give thanks for it. We pray that given the mercy we receive, we may become people of mercy for one another, so that the world can be a different place. May God bless you.